Those of us who typically kick off the holiday with a seasonal viewing of Terry Gilliam's Monty Python-esque, comically star-stuffed dystopian 1985 film Brazil are likely to find the film, and the opening scene in particular, hits close to home this year. In a bleak, low-tech retro future when everything's perpetually on the blink, it's Christmas Eve and a family is gathered round watching A Christmas Carol. No sooner has Tiny Tim uttered his annual benediction, "God bless us, everyone," when militarized jackbooted government thugs drill their way through the ceiling and before the eyes of his traumatized wife and children, hood and drag away poor Archibald Buttle rather than the freelance heating engineer and suspected terrorist Archibald Tuttle, played by none other than Robert De Niro. I was reminded of that scene this summer when masked agents wrenched Columbia University's graduate student Mahmoud Khalil from the side of his heavily pregnant wife, Noor Abdullah, begging the question of whether the kidnapping wasn't also calculated to induce a miscarriage. Needless to say, the Party of the Right to Life and Family Values should have been holding high-level meetings and getting to the bottom of it all. But as the old saying goes, the moral majority is neither. At least in the film, they gave Mrs. Buttle a receipt for her husband. As some of us celebrate the story of a family of Jewish Palestinian refugees fleeing to protect their child from a tyrant, the fact that Noor Abdullah carried the baby to full term seems downright miraculous. And the same seems true of women who go on giving birth and giving love amid the genocides in Gaza and Darfur, on the streets, in shackles, and in war zones and detention camps around the world. The new nanny state. I thought of that scene from Brazil back in September, seeing videos of an ICE assault on a Chicago apartment building in a historically black neighborhood. A swarm of Black Hawk helicopters circled the building before agents rappelled down, kicking in doors, throwing flashbangs, tearing parents from children who were zip-tied together, held in dark vans or left out in the cold for hours in their underwear. As neighbor and witness Ebony Watson described it, the kids was crying, people was screaming, I was out there crying, where's the morality? Watson said she kept asking herself during the raid, where's the morality? I'm guessing Ebony Watson wasn't all that reassured when a Department of Homeland Security spokesperson later somberly intoned, for their own safety and to ensure these children were not being trafficked, abused, or otherwise exploited, these children were taken into custody until they could be put in the care of a safe guardian or the state. As if DHS was suddenly the voice of reason, a veritable Mary Poppins, Nanny McPhee, or Mrs. Doubtfire, schooled in the needs of children and ready to adjudicate safe and appropriate placements for them. Never mind that DHS Director Kristi Noem famously demonstrated her qualifications for higher political office under Herr Trump by recounting the ease with which she gunned down the family dog Cricket in a gravel pit for the capital crime of misbehaving during a pheasant hunt. The idea of immigration detention creating safe spaces for children who've been deliberately separated from their families seems like delusional, self-serving pedophile logic in the best of times, but more so under a president who keeps popping up in the Epstein photo dumps like a veritable elf on the shelf, while apologists like Megyn Kelly parse the distinctions between degrees of child rape in ways that John Oliver aptly dubbed pedophile math. And by the way, if you're bracing this holiday to face off over turkey with your racist, transphobic, Fox News-loving funny uncle, count your lucky stars you weren't born a Trump. Because all the gold in the world can't gild that spite-filled lily or mask the not-so-quiet desperation those folks must be suffering as they deck the halls with cyber Santas and stuff down their holiday foie gras. And you can bet that anyone with a modicum of sobriety at the White House Christmas party knows enough to keep their kids from straying anywhere near Santa's lap. Trump, Epstein, colonialism, and thingification. Trump's repeated and obvious eroticizing of children, from his daughter Ivanka to teen beauty contestants, and his description of Virginia Giuffre being stolen from Mar-a-Lago by Jeffrey Epstein, seems proof enough that Martinican statesman and writer Aimé Césaire wasn't blowing smoke when he coined the term thingification in his essay, Discourse on Colonialism. Quote, Wherever there are colonizers and colonized face to face, I see force, brutality, cruelty, sadism, and conflict, observes Césaire. Enumerating qualities that the Orange Krampus and his assorted hangers-on openly celebrate in themselves and each other. And is it any surprise that they would find clergy willing to conjure and celebrate a god with exactly those qualities? Never mind the whole "if you have not love" bit. If Jesus came back today, Trump's Justice Department would be only too happy to dispatch him in a hail of bullets, the way they did Cop City protester Tortuguita, or haul his long-haired anti-fascist Jewish ass in front of Congress before shipping him off to ADX Florence, the Alcatraz of the Rockies. The imperial boomerang, the colonial fallout that we're up against that renders children's bodies sexualized disposable commodities, didn't begin with Trump or Epstein, but with Christopher Columbus. But for the past 5 decades, Republican and Democratic administrations alike have siphoned off money for housing, healthcare, and education to fatten Wendigo war profiteers, the military-industrial beast Dwight D. Eisenhower warned of in his 1961 farewell to the presidency. Money for public housing and the war on drugs siphoned off to pay for the American war on Vietnam, for the war on drugs and war on terror, for a world made red in tooth and claw to profit the rich. The migration criminalized in the global north is the product of endless colonial violence, thingification, the exploitation of labor, land, and bodies. Climate change knows no borders, and today's high-tech, carbon-intensive, endless wars and the consumption that help fuel them are in danger, kids, of burning down Santa's workshop. And let's just say that the melting of the permafrost doesn't bode well for the future of his reindeer either. So we need to defund the colonial war machine like our future and our children's future depend on it. And the good news is that boycott, divestment, and sanctions against the U.S. and Israeli war machines are well underway, thanks to organizations like the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, Jewish Voice for Peace, and tools like the Boycott app that make it easier than ever to identify complicit corporations. We can take heart this year knowing that from Jenine to Eugene, Ramallah to Rome, New York to Chicago and LA, people of goodwill are organizing, striking, divesting, and pushing back, putting their jobs, lives, and bodies on the line for people they love and people they've never met, all of them bent on stopping fascism, genocide, and climate collapse in their tracks. All of us riding together on the same fragile, mother-loving dust speck. We can take comfort in knowing that in the new year, friends and family, total strangers from the tallest to the smallest, will be standing side by side in the streets, in their loafers and their cleats, with their bullhorns and their trombones and their whistles all blowing tweet, tweet, tweet. Oh, the people and the inflatables you'll meet. And we can take comfort in knowing in the new year that all that noise, noise, noise is the sound of the old world dying and a new one struggling to be born. Peace out. This has been Desiree Helligrush for the Omal Variety Hour.